welcome back to Following Noadon, a Stormlight podcast. This week is episode 212, and we are wrapping up the Lost Metal, along with Mistborn as a whole, both eras 1 and 2, the Final Empire, all the way through the Lost Metal. Paul, how are you?
Excellent, Trevor. I'm very grateful to talk about Mistborn Era 1 and 2 with you today. And I think we have some good thoughts to share. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Elliot?
It almost feels a bit surreal to say I've officially read all of Mistborn. Era 1, Era 2, goofy short stories about Alamancer Jack. I've read it all. And that's a lot of words. That's a lot of books.
Yeah, Paul, did you read Alamancer Jack?
I have not yet, so I'm not current. I'm not Mistborn current, so please no Alamancer Jack spoilers.
Okay.
No Alamancer Jack spoilers. We'll have to refrain. But I do have to echo Elliot's sentiment of it. It really has been a longer undertaking than I think I thought it would be. I kind of was like, oh yeah, Mistborn, we'll be going quick through this. We have gone quick through it. We've gone through a lot of the Cosmere over the past year, you know, but it's really neat to be on this side, seeing what those people were seeing 2 years ago now. Excited to feel caught up in that regard.
Before the intro, real quick, a little bit of podcast trivia for you gentlemen. How many episodes did it take us to cover Mistborn?
Eras 1 and 2?
Eras 1 and 2. Give me your best guess. Including 70, this episode.
79.
I think like 60, 65.
Final answer?
Final answer is 65.
60 even.
Should have stuck with my first guess. Dang.
Do you know how many episodes it took us to read through Rhythm of War? Not including Warbreaker, if you want to include that.
Wait, Rhythm of War or Stormlight?
Stormlight as a whole. How many episodes did it take us to finish Stormlight?
Yeah, like 120.
Oh, the Stormlight Archive? Oh, like from Wave Kings to Rhythm of War?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking only the Rhythm of War. Oh gosh, like 170... 175 or something like that. Oh, not including Warbreaker, 160.
And not including all the side quests of, like,
okay,
you know, it is 121. So, Elliot, you were one off. 121 episodes to get through Stormlight, exactly half of that to get through Mistborn. So, with that said, let's roll intro and finish Mistborn. Paul, do we have a patron?
Oh boy. I'm so glad that you asked, Trevor. I'm just over the moon right now. We do have a patron this week. We have someone with, I think, a really cool, just down to earth, like, name that is just, they know what they're about, and they are about destruction and demolition, either that or like a little brief test or glimpse at a potentially bigger thing. And that is our friend Demo. I don't know if this is Demo as in like the demo, like, version of a game, or like demolition. Either way, I'm a big fan of both things. So, big fan of Demo, our newest surgeon on the block. Very grateful for your support. And yeah, yes, Trevor, we do have another patron. So very, very happy to say thank you so much, Demo.
I actually know the answer to your question of whether that's the demo of a game or destroying something, because in his email on his Patreon, it has the word destruction in it. So there's your answer for the demo lore.
Wow. Okay, perfect. Even better.
Well, thank you, demo.
All right. We're going to do our standard wrap-up ratings for the Lost Metal. We'll discuss the Lost Metal probably for the first half of this episode. And then we're going to zoom out, talk about Mistborn 2 as a whole, Mistborn 2 versus Mistborn Era 1, and then Mistborn versus Stormlight, and how we feel some brief thoughts on comparing the two, since we've are now current with an asterisk in there for Stormlight. I hate how you guys are like almost current all the time. Like you finish Rhythm of War and then Stormlight 5 like prologue drops and you're not allowed to read it for like, you know, 6 months or whatever, and you're almost there and you don't get it. But anyway, the Lost Metal, for my ratings, I rated the plot a 9. I rated characters a 10. I rated world building a 9, theme a 9, and point of view an 8. I think it is ludicrous for anyone to rate characters not a 10 with those character scenes that we discussed last episode. How do you read those, come off the back of those, and not give this book a 10? I'm excited to hear my podcast co-hosts defend their scores momentarily. Characters are incredible. World building is, I gave a 9. I mean, it's good, but there was nothing like really like standout 10 for me. We're not on Roshar, is basically what I'm trying to say. And then the theme of you don't actually need forgiveness, Wayne. You've earned your place at the table. Incredible. 45 out of 50. I'm going to throw it to Elliot next.
I'm going to point something out about yours before I go into mine, actually. You got to 45 out of 50 with this book. Stormlight Archive, Rhythm of War, you rated significantly lower than that.
I did.
So you are claiming Lost Metal is 4 points better than one of our Stormlight books.
Yeah. I mean, I'd stand behind that. The Lost Metal is the cherry on top of a very solid, I was going to say sundae, but I don't like chocolate. So never mind.
Anyway, that was glowing praise from you for the Lost Metal. I gotta say. My scores. Yeah, let's hit them. So I put plot as a 7. That was my lowest of the ones. I think that plot has been pretty solid throughout these. A little bit meandering in Bands of Mourning. I rated a little bit lower there, but still a solid 7. Not quite as satisfying or flowy. We'll go with that. As like Stormlight, but still quite good. Characters 8. I'm going to come back to defend my characters 8 here in a second. Worldbuilding 9. I almost went worldbuilding 10 just for all the science and technology that was really, really fun to start to dig into, but it doesn't quite spend as much time on lore and setting as maybe, yeah, Stormlight to give it a 10. Theme was 9. Big jump in this book from the previous ones. Theme was nailed it in this book. You said it, Trevor, the story that we conclude with specifically Wayne, but also Wax and Marcy, like shout out to the two of them as well. The themes that we really hit on of this in this book of kind of finding your place in the world. I mean, think about that. Marcy finds her confidence and her place. Wayne finds forgiveness and realizes he's the hero. Wax finally finds resolution with Harmony, or does he? And even like Steris has these moments of just like vindication. It's really cool. Point of view, also a 9. I think I've been pretty high on that throughout. I really like just the way these books are delivered, which is pretty awesome. 9 there. My total is 42 out of 50, which is a pretty big step up from the previous. All the rest of my books were in the Mistborn Era 2 were in the high 30s. This one pops up into the 40s for me, 42. Characters really fast, just to respond to your attack on my character score, Trevor. I put 8 for characters. I thought it was really good. It just didn't. But Wayne in this book is fantastic. Absolutely. Carrying that score for sure. Marcy and Wax, I feel like it's not quite there. Almost. Almost. But then others like Steris kind of aren't there. There's not a lot of attention spent there. So I think just the lack of amount of characters that we're getting through, it kind of still pales in comparison to some other books. So I'm still kind of rating it against some of those other books out there that give me more. So 8 out of 10.
Okay. My review is very similar to Elliot's, but I had a tweak. I had characters at a 9. I think the characters in this book are wonderful, but not perfect. I think Elliot did a good job of kind of describing that. Wax is our protagonist, but felt like he had to take a sideline for Wayne to have his moment to be the hero at the end. Steris as well was less prominent, and just kind of things like that. It really is not bad. Like 9 is obviously a very good score, and Trevor's attacking us for wrongful reasons. but all in all, it was very good. The characters in this story are kind of what hold it together for me, what make me really interested. World building, I also had as a 9. This was the time compared to Era 1 that I got a picture of Scadrial, I feel like, and got to see more of the world. Really neat to see how the technology was used. Was really, really nice. I had theme at an 8. I do think that the theme was a lot better in this book compared to the previous of Era 2. I love the theme of forgiveness, forgiving Harmony, or coming to terms with Harmony, forgiving yourself with Wayne were really great. It felt like those came at the end, and there wasn't as much of a wrestled with theme throughout. So that's why I had it as an 8. It is a big step up. I think I'm picky about my theme, and I think ever since I read Elantris, the theme for these other books has kind of fallen in comparison. But that's why I had it down there. And I had Point of View as a 9, similar to Elliot. I think it's very entertaining and very well written, how it bounces around and the perspectives we see. But back to plot, I gave it a 0.1 higher than Elliot, honestly, just for comedic value, because Trevor said it would be funny. I had it originally at a 7, but now it's a 7.1, making my total score 42.1 out of 50. The reason I have plot at a 7 is because while this was a good story, I still wrestled to get super invested. It felt like we talked about this more in depth, I think, in our previous episode, wrapping up the end of the book. There were some things that felt like maybe it was kind of spurred on you at the last moment, or it didn't quite connect, or there wasn't as much payoff, or things like that. It felt a little bit different. It felt like, you know, the Bands of Mourning were a big deal. Now they're kind of being thrown off. Like, there were just a lot of elements that to me didn't feel as cohesive, where everything hit all at once and it was just like a perfect masterpiece. Obviously, that's a very high bar, but we've seen that before. So, like I said, maybe I'm spoiled at this point. But yeah, that was ultimately why I had 7.1 out of 10.
You said something in there that I would like to put a pause on this entire episode and just talk about for a second. You mentioned Elantris theme, okay? And I want to talk directly to our listener right now, not to Paul or Elliot. You listener who has read Stormlight, read Mistborn Era 1 and 2, you've even read Warbreaker, but you have not gotten around to Elantris, go read Elantris before Stormlight 5 comes out. I promise. It is really good. It is sprinkled in everywhere in the Cosmere. Once you read Elantris, in this book, in Stormlight, there is so much like rich detail once you read Elantris that's in these books. Brandon just like really wants to write about Elantris and hasn't gotten back around to it. He just like puts it in everything else. Like there's just Elantris things everywhere. Go read Elantris. It's really good. It has its flaws. I know you skipped our Elantris episode because you haven't read it. Go read it. And then go listen to our Elantris episode. I don't know. It's like episode 183 or something like that.
It's in there.
Yeah.
Go read Elantris. It's a standalone episode where we talk about the entirety of the book. Yes. It may have been... It's definitely up there in my top five favorite episodes we've recorded, for yep. sure. It's way up there.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. The Lost Metal. I didn't remember this book super well. I like crash coursed it when right after we went to Dragonsteel. I listened to the whole thing just so I wouldn't be spoiled on it. And I remember liking it. Like I enjoyed Wax and Wayne at the time. It was good. I loved it this time around. Like I rated a 45 out of 50. Elliot, you said three points higher than Rhythm of War, maybe even higher than Words of Radiance.
I went back and looked, and I think you rated Words of Radiance crazy high, like 48 out of 50 or something like that, because I guessed you were going to rate Words of Radiance lower than this, but it ended up being just Rhythm of War, I think.
Okay. But Lost Metal is really, really good. I really enjoyed the Lost Metal, especially this time around. Like, I listened to it probably a full four times on our read through this time, just listening and re-listening and prepping for the podcast. A, because there's a lot of stuff to take notes on and I have to lead this crazy discussion, but B, because I was really enjoying it. Like for what we were talking about last episode, Michael Kramer has incredible performance in it. And on top of the really good content, I really enjoyed The Lost Metal.
I'm going to go ahead and add, I did certainly enjoy The Lost Metal quite a bit. What I wrote down was that, you know, I absolutely loved the structure of the book and how clever it was. The elements used for world building with the technology, the elements Brandon Sanderson uses for storytelling, even like the world, I've gotten to know Scadrial a bit better, and the characters in it. But for me, it was my struggle, and I've mentioned this several times, but my struggle was with the story, the actual direct plot of what's going on. I was extremely invested in all the Cosmere things, learning about autonomy, Trell being autonomy, the nods to Trell earlier on, and all the connections there. Our world hoppers who come into the fray, all those things absolutely had my undivided attention, and I ate up. Absolutely loved. But the actual plot of a lot of what happens, kind of the constable cop running around with a gun, it's this, like I've said before, it comes down a bit to personal preference. I think I favored the Era One side, where it was maybe more fantastical and less, I guess, of the steampunk cops and robbers vibe. I guess that's kind of in my general, the only thing that keeps it from being my favorite in the Cosmere. Some of the elements of it are my favorites. Like I think humor wise, I think this may be my favorite series in the Cosmere. Like the jokes, the real world implications of all the stuff that happens with Wayne is hilarious. And it's the most I've probably laughed at a series, honestly. But for like the serious read, I've enjoyed the plots of our other other Cosmere books further.
As far as humor goes, Paul, I cannot wait for you to read Tress. I cannot wait for you to read Tress.
Sounds good.
Really, really quick on what you just said there, Paul. How do you feel about maybe Scadrial specifically continuing to go down the technology path? You know, I think it's been pretty clearly hinted at that Mistborn Era 3, Mistborn Era 4 are going to continue to jump forward in this technology. You know, we're going to get into like space age Scadrial. Does that worry you? Do you kind of anticipate liking these less and less as you go through it? Or do you think you could learn to fall in love with a technology heavy story, not a like more medieval fantasy one?
So I have mixed feelings. So coming into this, I was very worried about the technology, about having cars, about having guns. How is that going to mess up the, in my opinion, very awesome magic system on Scadrial? And Brandon Sanderson proved to me that he can use this technology aspect to enhance the magic system, make it engaging, make the scale bigger, which I think is what was done a lot better than I expected. I think that exceeded my expectations for sure. That doesn't make me not nervous about the future, but it does. I do trust Brendan Sanderson to use it well and to not just be like, this big fight happens, this big war happens, and oh, I just pulled out my pistol and shot him, the end. I mean, I guess like kind of using technology to make an anticlimactic end to a story, if that makes sense. I do trust that the writing on that is going to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with you. I trust Brandon with where he's going, but what I hear potentially you might be saying, and I think I might be in this boat too, of maybe the Swords and Dragons version of it might hold a more special place in your view than the technology ones, but I'm still looking forward to where it's going to.
I think you're right. And honestly, thinking about Stormlight, I think the parts that I haven't loved about Stormlight, so I think this is more of just a personal preference. So this is not for everyone, because I know Elliot really, I think, enjoys these probably a lot more, is especially heavy in Rhythm of War, where we get deep into the weeds of Fabrials and the technology of making these like airships and all the things like that. I do appreciate the understanding that we're given as a reader. This really, once we embarked on this whole podcast in general, it was my first time. I think it was basically my first time really deep diving into a high fantasy series. And so this is the first time now, it's been like 4 years, I guess, but really diving into learning the ins and outs and the specific details that make the world work that I'm looking at. So I feel like I naturally think like this is almost taking away from the cool moments we could be having, but I think that's just my personal thing. I haven't loved the Fabrials on Roshar, and so a lot of the tech talk going on here hasn't been my favorite. That's not to say that I think it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I think it's well written and well done, but for my like view and rating of a plot, that does interest me less. I do like the fantastical powers and the dragons and stuff. I guess I like the more magic side of it than the hard science technology side.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I actually resonate with that a lot myself too. I've been really loving the science and technology part of Mistborn Era 2 in particular. I think that's been one of the highlights for me of the book, and I've been enjoying it for what it is. But I think it doesn't come close to replacing more of that high fantasy sort of setting that I do think will always be my first love and where I'll gravitate to. But I think going into Era 2, I was expecting us to go deep into the technology side of things and more sci-fi steampunk sort of thing. So I like, with that as my expectation, I've enjoyed it.
So we'll directly compare Mistborn and Stormlight later on in this episode, but I do want to say this. What you were saying, Paul, I do think Mistborn Era 2 has handled technology better than Stormlight has. I think the technology that we've been given in the second half of Stormlight that we've had so far in Oathbringer and Rhythm of War has gotten in the way of of some Stormlight things, whereas in Scadrial, I think it's played really well. Going back to Elliot, your original question, am I scared for Mistborn Era 3? Yes. I have the same fear that I had going into Mistborn Era 2, is that I'm not going to like it because I want my knights and my swords and my dragons, and give me that, please. And I was completely proven wrong. I love Mistborn Era 2, which we'll talk about more broadly in a second. But I still have that same fear. I'm still holding my cards close to my chest, even though I know that I will be proven wrong again. I have full faith in Brandon that he will once again bring me into a pre-modern world, I think is what Mistborn Era 3 is going to be, like the 1960s-ish. So I have full faith in him. I'm still scared about it, though. So maybe not full faith, 98% faith.
Yeah, I'm excited for futuristic Mistborn. I think I'm more scared of like maybe Stormlight Era 2, along the lines of what you're saying of does technology improve what we have going on Roshar? Maybe not. But I think I need to reserve any thoughts on that until we get through Stormlight 5 first and see where we're even at the end of our Era 1 Stormlight before we try and guess where Era 2 might go.
Yeah. There might be no technology.
Yeah, potentially.
We will see.
Yeah. I mean, the desolation might send us back to the Bronze Age, as we've seen before. So
yeah. Real quick on general thoughts of the Lost Metal specifically. My ratings went up quite a bit for the Lost Metal because I feel like this book four here of Era 2 really finally hit the sweet spot of like the tone of the book and the delivery and the balance of all the things we were hitting. I think I talked about this a little bit in some of our previous book wrap-ups. It didn't quite land for me sometimes. I couldn't decide whether I was supposed to be, is this just a silly, humorous story? Is this a commentary on religion? Is this a deep dive into sci-fi and steampunk? Like, I think a few of the earlier books struggled a little bit to know what they were intending to be. The Lost Metal, I think, found it. It found the right balance between giving me lore and descriptions of what's going on, feeding me lots of humorous Wayne and Stannis scenes, and that finally very satisfying character development. I think we landed on finally some really momentous big moments for a lot of our characters, and that felt good reading through this book. So it finally settled in, where before I think it was kind of up and down and up and down.
Favorite character for the Lost Metal? Paul.
I feel like it's not a big stretch of the imagination to guess that my favorite character would be Wayne. But Wayne has been pretty consistently my favorite. I love especially in this book, we get, I think, a really incredible balance of humor and sincerity. He remains loyal to Wax. He remains loyal to the company, to people, and is able to accept his past, move on, and we get good closure. I think all in all, there's not much else I can say past that. I think all in all, he was a great character. I really think one of Brandon's best characters.
So I'm also Team Wayne here as my favorite character. However, the leap that Wayne makes from Alloy of Law to the Lost Metal, not necessarily as like a character development thing, but as like a character writing thing. Somewhere in the middle there, Sanderson clicks and he knows what he's doing with Wayne. Elliot, you use the term annoying, I think, for the Bands of Mourning Wayne, or maybe it was Shadows of Self. I agree with you. There is a line that Wayne runs on. Like he's definitely not walking. There's a line that he plays with, and somewhere in the middle, he goes from like cute, funny, like slapstick humor to like annoying. But then in The Lost Metal, he just like whiplashes the extreme other direction. He's one of the characters that I feel the most for when we get to the end of The Lost Metal in the entire Cosmere. And I never thought I would say that before the second half of The Lost Metal.
I'm going to add one more thing. I know Ellie hasn't even gotten to say his favorite character yet, but I really think why you feel that way, or why I feel that way too, is we see the end of the book as the fulfillment of his like childhood stories that he loved and that he shared with his mom, right? That the prologue, I was really excited whenever I heard that prologue, because I thought it was beautiful. It was very true to show Wayne's just always been a crack up, ridiculous kid. But show he always had just a reverence, a respect, and an admiration for heroes, just for heroic figures who could do these incredible feats. And him at the end of the book actualizing that, actually becoming the hero, is just, I think it was just a beautiful way to have Wayne's character grow. You're right. He absolutely skyrocketed in this book specifically.
On the Wayne discussion, I very much appreciated Wayne in this book in particular. He was a really, really well-written character. I still don't know. This is putting it harshly for all the reasons we talked about last episode a week ago of the epic moments that Wayne gets in the end of this book are really, really cool. I think he still is brilliantly written, but still not a character that I particularly like, you know, personally. Would I be friends with Wayne? Probably not. He's a little too obnoxious for me. But I want to say real quick, my appreciation of Wayne, we mentioned this briefly last episode too, really doubled, tripled, quadrupled when I listened to the audiobook. I had not listened to any of the audiobooks until this one. And I had to break out the audiobook for the last half of this book just for expediency. And Michael Kramer brings that character to life. There are Wayne lines in the book that fall completely flat for me. I think simply because the voice in my head doesn't do it justice. I can't put the emphasis and the feeling, and Trevor, you talked about it, the incredible balance between like silliness and seriousness in the same line. In my the voice in my head just isn't as good of an actor. And so I just read that and go, okay, that was dumb. Moving on. But then you hear Michael Kramer deliver it and you're just like, wow, that's a character I can understand so much better because of the way he speaks the exact same words that I read on the page that didn't land for me. It's actually incredible if you think about it, that he can do that as a voice actor. Crazy. So here's what I would say as a recovering Wayne hater, that's putting it too strongly. If you are out there reading these books and saying, man, I cannot stand this Wayne guy, go listen to the audiobook a little bit and see if it changes your mind, because I think it changed my mind a little bit.
I couldn't have put it better myself. But what's your favorite character?
But all that to say, Wayne is not my favorite character of this book, although he's probably a close third. Marcy has been my favorite character from day one, which caught me off guard in Alloy of Law. I knew about the characters of Wax and Wayne going into this, so I was like, okay, sure, it's going to be Wax or maybe this goofy Wayne guy. And then it's like, who is this Marcy? I've never heard of Marcy before. And she's been solidly my favorite throughout the whole book, and I think that's still continued even through The Lost Metal. I just really like the journey that she's been on, that discovering her confidence, finding her niche of this is what I can do. I am legitimate in what I can bring to the team of heroes. I can be a mover and a shaker on the Cosmere level, and just watching her develop into that character has been really cool. So Marcy all the way.
Well put. Ordinarily here, we put in our favorite quotes. However, with how many quotes we read last week and then kind of sprinkled with our previous couple episodes, we're just going to go ahead and skip that because everything we came up with, we've already read. So, putting down the lost metal and picking up the entirety of Mistborn. The grand debate. Gentlemen, welcome to the arena. Mistborn Era 1 versus Mistborn Era 2. Who's on Team Mistborn Era 2? Me.
Elliot
has his hand raised. Paul, are you on Mistborn Era 1 team?
Is it too much of a cop-out for me to say I don't think I can pick a team? Yes. I think... I think at the end of the day, like reading both of these stories for the first time, I think I liked Era 1 more. However, I'm now going to add all the justifications that Trevor won't let me ride the fence for. Since Trevor won't let me ride the fence on this one. So, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the kind of the fantastical feeling, I guess, in Era 1 is more so there of more magic and, you know, swords and stuff. But what I do really appreciate about Era 2 is it had more of like a real world feeling or real world relatability with the humor, with like finances. There was a whole chapter that talked about like what gives something value, what gives a collectible value, you know? And that's stuff that's, I think, is really fascinating and I really tune in for. There's a lot of things like that that I really appreciate. And so, honestly, if you ask me right now which I would rather reread, I would rather reread Era 2. Because there are a lot of topics that are kind of tackled like that, which I think are really great and I would absolutely love to read again. As far as like the story and the payoff at the end of the book, and the like dilemmas that happen, I think I liked the plot of Era 1 more. So I almost like the topics, I guess the banter, the writing, the jabs of Era 2 more, but the actual plot line of Era 1 more. So it's really, this is very hard for me to decide between the two. It really is.
Elliot?
It is kind of a tough discussion for me. They're almost hard to compare. It's a little bit apples and oranges to talk about Era 1 and Era 2 because Brandon's probably talked about this. It's probably in words of Brandon or some of his talk somewhere, but I wonder if he might even say something similar himself. I think he's intending to accomplish different things with Era 1 and Era 2. So to have a fight about, you know, which one is better is talking about like, is it Messi or is it Pelé? Who's the better soccer player? Like you can't compare. It's different times. That, however, is a cop out. So I will go and say, I think I'm team Era 2, and it's for me, it comes down to the themes. And this is weird. I'm going to sound like Paul here. There's pros and cons in both directions. The Era 1 themes, I think, might be better written. They're more interwoven into the stories. There's elements kind of throughout, less so in maybe like, I forget, there was one of them. It's probably Well of Ascension that I probably hit pretty hard up on themes. But in Era 1, for me, the themes are just too dark. The themes... The what you're taking away from the story is consistently things like destruction and revenge. Ruin. Yeah, revenge. And just it kind of, at least for me, just in the way I read books and the way I like to immerse myself in a book, it just kind of wears down on me over time. And I read through an Era 1 story that just has these kind of dark storylines that they're going through. And I enjoy it. I still think Mistborn is really well written, Era 1 in particular, yeah. But Era 2, the more lighthearted, the more fun, the more enjoyable to think about, draws me to Era 2 more than Era 1.
You guys are overcomplicating this. Okay. there's a correct answer here, and it's Era 2. And the reason why is because Brandon Sanderson is a better writer in 2022 than he was in 2009. And it's just that simple. There is potential and there are themes. If Mistborn Era 1 was written by modern day Brandon Sanderson, he has said that he would wishes he had gone a little bit less dark, like you were saying, Elliot, leaned a little bit less into grimdark and done more his own thing. If Mistborn Era 1 had been written today, or at the same time as Mistborn Era 2, Mistborn Era 1 would have done, would be better than Mistborn Era 2. However, there are scenes in Mistborn Era 1 where it's two characters having a character-to-character moment, and it doesn't quite hit home as hard as it does in Mistborn Era 2 in A Secret Project, in, you know, You Mean the Nightmare Painter. There are character scenes in a modern-day Brandon Sanderson book that just knock it out of the park like I've never read before. And they just aren't there in Mistborn Era 1.
The only thing I want to say, also, I think specifically in Mistborn Era 1, I think if The Well of Ascension, the second book, was tweaked, was different, was less hinged on a mystery reveal, I think it would easily be my favorite of the two. Been teetering back and forth. I do still think I'm going to sit on the Era 1 side of the line, even given Trevor's, oh, it's so simple point. because I think the story, I like the character development a lot more in Era 1. I think the journey that Ven goes on, the journey that Spook goes on, a lot of the characters, the journey that Ellen goes on, like, it's all wonderful. It's really good. I understand the darker setting. I don't need to keep saying too much about it, but I do think my only like drawback towards Era 1 is The Well of Ascension. Is I think it struggles from a reread perspective quite a bit. So that's my only apprehension that could potentially push me toward the Era 2 side.
All right. Zooming out even further, we're going to keep this brief, because if we have time before Stormlight 5, I would like to dedicate an entire episode to a topic similar to this. But Stormlight versus Mistborn. It's been almost 2 years since you guys were holding the Stormlight book. But think back to our dusty Shattered Plane days. Stormlight versus Mistborn. The discussion in the fandom. Where do you all sit? Paul?
Picking between the two, for me, it's hands down Stormlight is my favorite. But what I wrote in our outline is I kind of look at them a little bit. No, I don't look at them differently. I definitely look at them the same, as in like the story, the characters, the development, like everything there. But one thing I've really liked about Mistborn as a whole, I said I almost wrote that feels like it's my Cosmere test tube. It's like where I'm learning about, it's where I'm getting a lot of the actual answers. Brandon is writing in here explicit answers. This is how this magic system works. And like it even kind of theorizes some for you. Like, yeah. If you had this and could compound this, these metals, then you could do this. Like, it's given to you. It's just handed to you on a nice little silver platter. And that's pretty refreshing. And it's really nice to take and to potentially apply or try to infer things that we learn on Scadrial to Roshar and other places in the Cosmere. So that's my description. Is it's almost like my little test tube, my lab, where the scientist has given me all the answer sheet or something. I don't know. We get like all the hard rules associated with it, where Stormlight is more of the, in my mind, like the grand classic, like, epic quest, good versus evil, you know, and it's more of like the majorly impactful for the future events of the Cosmere. I feel like schedules have set the stage to today, which that's unfair to say because we're seeing both before and after Stormlight 1 in this, so maybe that's not quite right. But all in all, there's a lot of stuff I'm taking from schedule logic-wise to Stormlight. But Stormlight is definitely my favorite. The overall, the expansiveness of the characters we get to get into and their development, the progression we've gotten to follow with ideals is really interesting. The crazy amount of dots you get to connect, that's probably the biggest thing. And what I've loved most about this podcast is us reading this story. We've been reading it for a year and a half. Then Trevor's like, do you remember this one epigraph from 2 years ago? And it completely changes our perspective on it. The amount of dots that are connected, the amount of effort and work that has gone into it, I haven't really seen it in another story. And so it's really special.
See, very soon the curtain will be pulled back and you'll realize the copper mine tells you all of those dots connected. It's not my brain. I'm just cheating. And so once you explore the copper mine for yourself, which feel free to do, because, you know, that there are trusts and sunlit spoilers, but they're actually pretty hard to find, unless you're like on the trust page or on the sunlit page. But yeah, the wonderful people over at the 17th Shard have done it all for me already. So all I'm doing is reading and showing you. Elliot, Mistborn or Stormlight? Although I think everybody knows the answer to this for you.
I think everyone listening who's listened to this podcast for more than 3 or 4 episodes can probably guess all of our answers as 3 professed Tolkien nerds going into the Sanderson world. For me, it's Stormlight, hands down, going into comparing it to Mistborn. The way I think about it is Mistborn is like an appetizer. Mistborn whets my appetite. It gets me interested. It makes me think about cool things like technology. But it doesn't give me the meat and veggies. Give me the main course. Give me the epic fantasy that I can really sink my teeth into and get in the mind of characters and live with them through hundreds and hundreds of pages, through their dilemmas, feel their pain, live their triumphs with them, take away bits of their story and their life that can then inspire me in my real world. We've talked about that as we read Stormlight. There are moments that Kaladin goes through, that Dalinar goes through, that Shallan experiences, that you go, wow, I need to learn that. Me, Elliot, as a person, need to learn that. I don't feel those moments when I read Mistborn, maybe once or twice, but not on the regular basis that I do of something that has the depth of something like Stormlight. And so for me, it's Stormlight all the way. And in case you're curious about my meal analogy, Mistborn is the appetizer. Stormlight is the meat and veggies. I'm pretty sure that Yumi is the dessert, tops it off at the end.
Well, after this episode, we're going to go into 2 more secret projects, finally, on this podcast. But I do need to answer this question before we discuss that. Of course, Stormlight, for all the reasons Elliot said. There's earned payoff, gratitude in Stormlight that you cannot get via the word count in Mistborn. Like, it doesn't matter how epic Wayne's death scene is, it will not mean to me as much as Teft's death scene because I haven't been through 4,000 pages with Wayne. I just haven't been around the bend with Wayne like I have with Teft. So whatever's going to happen in Stormlight 5, like there are those life altering like questions that are a product of Stormlight that you just cannot get in Mistborn, no matter how well Mistborn is delivered. That said, as Mistborn has gotten a later publication date, I think it has gotten a lot better, and I'm really excited for Mistborn Era 3. I think Brandon Sanderson could do really, really cool things with Mistborn Era 3 and where he wants to go with it. Elliot, you talked about this. You cannot get out of your head that the Ghostbloods are not a malevolent force in the Cosmere. You can't get it out of your head. That's a really good question to move forward. Is Kelsier a good guy? That's a really good question. And like that's a really interesting thought to carry into Mistborn Era 3. Are Sazed and Kelsier going to go head to head in moving forward? I'm really excited to learn that. That's pretty cool. It pales in comparison to Stormlight.
This is a crazy theory and not at all what we're talking about, but I think that's true of this podcast.
Of course, yes.
It's not what we're talking about, just crazy theory. You know, we have Mistborn Eras 3 and 4 in the future. What if wrapping up Mistborn as a whole? You start Mistborn Era 1 with Kelsier, who you're following as a protagonist. You know, a bit ambiguous, a bit of a bad guy, but he's who you're following. You know, you follow him a long ways. We've had this whole, we can't really tell if he's good or bad. He has good motives, doesn't have the best, like, practices. I could fully see him being the overarching, like, survivor evil come Era 4 Mistborn. Oh, yeah. Being the big, like, everyone has to unite to take out Kelsier. You know, I really think that's where we're going to head one day. I think we're going to get a total crazy arc of him spending so much time in the Cosmere. We've obviously seen can have some adverse effects, I feel like, on our characters' minds. So I think it could dilute. I don't know if Brandon Sanderson has Era 4 planned out, but I think that'd be crazy, especially if you're like a newer reader and you pick up, let's say, Era 3, Era 4, whatever, or anywhere. You read start to finish. You read and you're like, you love this Kelsier guy. You just see like the descent, I think, would be really cool and really honestly kind of true to Mistborn's kind of darker side. Anyways, well, totally unrelated, just popped in my head, I had to share.
And don't forget, this is Brandon Sanderson that we're talking about. What if he goes even further than you're thinking and brings it like full circle? I think he even mentioned at one point a Mistborn Era 5, because if you count it up, if he did 5 eras of Mistborn, he could total it up to 16 books in the Mistborn series. And
that's true.
What if it goes on the arc that you're talking about, and Mistborn Era 3, Kelsier is full on villain, but what if then he is defeated by the heroes, has this giant fall, and goes all the way full circle to where by Mistborn Era 5, he's back like on the good guy side. Like he goes all the way back to where he begun, you know, full Wheel of Time, reinvents himself, you know, kind of thing. Could absolutely see it.
I think Kelsier is here to stay for a long time. I think he's going to remain ambiguous to us. Not ambiguous, but unsure whether we want to support him, I think.
I think Kelsier at some point is going to get offered a shard.
Absolutely.
What that does to him, I have no idea. But I think at some point Kelsier will be a vessel. And when he gave it up for Vin in Mistborn Era 1, he's not going to be able to do at a future date. All right. We set down Mistborn for the foreseeable future. We pick up Tress of the Emerald Sea, which at the time of the release of the Lost Metal, let me take you guys back 2 years. None of us knew. Is this true? No, this is not true. Didn't we take you back 3 years where none of us knew of the secret projects, right? Everybody assumed that the next book after the Lost Metal would be Stormlight 5. However, Brandon Sanderson took a year and released four other books, which we now get to cram in before Stormlight 5. So next week, we will be in Tress of the Emerald Sea chapters 1 through 5.
Can you guys share a special moment with me? I purchased Tress of the Emerald Sea last year, of course, year of the Sanderson, got my copy. Actually did not back the Kickstarter because I was like, oh my gosh, that's really expensive for a book. And then I saw how ridiculously high quality the books were and go, oh, what a deal, $50 for that book, done, I'll do it. My book is still in the shrink wrap. You guys want to open it with me right here?
Yeah, do it.
Here we go.
Wow, this is right. Quite an honor.
Here we...
Yeah. Don't break it. I can
get through the
yeah, shrink wrap. Yeah, don't damage here. It.
Yeah, try not to. This has been sitting on my shelf for, gosh, how long has it been? 9 months, something like that? Trevor's showing off his copy.
Wow, look at high quality my camera is.
Yeah, check that out.
Here we go, guys. Shrink is off.
It does not get fresher and newer than this.
Yep. People. Taking that new book smell. Here we go. Wow.
Now look at the art on the back half of the book. I think that's what Trevor told us to do. He said flip straight through the art.
Yep.
Yeah, read the last couple pages out loud for us.
Yeah, that would pretty well spoil you. I was going to say the epilogue wouldn't really do much, but that'd be a lie. Because I just finished Dress of the Emerald Sea, actually, like 3 days ago, because I was doing our chapter splits. All right, let's close this episode there and reconvene next week. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot.
Let's go.
Peace.